I know that we've come this morning and we feel hurt. We feel broken. There's a real sense of heaviness. And I know that. I feel that. I know that members have been processing a lot this morning, a lot this week. And there are fears for our future. There are things that have been said and things that have been done with wrong motivations. And without knowing or understanding even the ramifications of such actions. We need to care for one another. We need to care for one another. We need to encourage the faint-hearted. We need to lift up one another in prayer and in love. Peter writes in 1 Peter 5, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all of your anxieties onto him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, will himself confirm, will himself strengthen, will himself establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen." We must in this moment seek to live as Christ would have us, for his glory, for his renown. As Peter says, we do that by humbling ourselves under God. By humbling ourselves under God, resisting the devil. He's prowling around. As Lee said, he's not invited. He is not invited into this church at all. He's not invited into our lives at all. He's not invited into our hearts at all. We are to resist him, to be firm in our faith in Christ Jesus. We've been thinking over this series already that he is the light that guides us. He is the light that steps into the darkness, into our darkness, and draws near to us, just as we've been singing this morning. He is faithful to that, so that we can walk in righteousness and not stumble. Friends, today we get to turn in our Advent series to continue looking at Jesus, that one true light. The light that shines in the darkness, the light that shines out so radiantly, so brilliantly for all to see, for all to come to, for all to know, for all to follow. We live knowing that in the midst of darkness, in the midst of the darkness of a broken world, of the brokenness that we feel and we experience right now, even today, that the one true light, he is with us. He is near us, and he comforts us. He is the light that enters into our problems and into the pain and into the loss and the grief that we might be experiencing. I would love you to turn to Isaiah 42. Today we're thinking of Jesus as the light who enters into these things. In Isaiah's time, the people have been in active rebellion against God. The whole book of Isaiah, if you've read it, is a book of warning in regard to that. But the book of Isaiah is also a book of hope. It's a book of hope. Though Israel will face the consequences of their rebellion, Isaiah's prophetic words are so full of hope for the day when God would restore his people to himself. In this moment as a church, we might feel as though we're in a deep, dark forest. There's a picture that will go on the screen that kind of highlight that. We feel like we're in a deep, dark forest, but and we can't see the wood for the trees. But in the midst of that deep, dark forest, the light of Christ enters in. The light of Christ shines through. Isaiah 42, God speaks of his chosen servant, of the one whom he will send. And he says, his spirit is upon him, and that servant will bring forth justice to the nations. His saving mercies, which he has revealed through Israel, are for the whole world. And in Isaiah 42, verses 6 and 7, he says this of the servant. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. This is truly a servant who brings hope. This is truly a servant who is a light to the nations. This is truly one whom God sends, who makes blind eyes open again, because he is light. Prisoners are set free from injustice, from oppression, and from darkness, because he is light. A servant is coming, a sent one from the Lord, from Yahweh himself, Almighty God. A light that will overcome the darkness. Friends, we live in a world where there is light and where there is darkness. At this time of year, we maybe finish work, or we maybe pick up the kids from school, and it feels like it's nighttime as soon as we do it. It's darkness. Even during the day, we have to turn the lights on in the house because it's so dark for us to be able to see clearly. Right from the beginning of creation, from the very start of time, God wrote light and darkness into creation itself. The very first words of our Bibles. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, it was void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God spoke light into the darkness, and God saw that the light was good. Friends, light is always good. Walking in the light is always good. John tells us in 1 John 1, verse 5, something marvelous about the God who created the universe. It's just 11 short words, and he makes this clear. "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." This is the God that we worship. This is the God who is faithful. This is the God that we know. This is the God that we follow, the God of all light, perfect light, no darkness at all. From Genesis all the way through to Revelation, we trace that story of darkness and light. We live in a world of darkness and light. We can't escape the statement, there is darkness in this world, there is light in this world, both literal, but also spiritual in its essence. You were here last week as we looked at John's gospel. He who was in the beginning, he who has since come, John 1 verse 5, the light, he is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This imagery of light and darkness, it speaks directly to our spiritual, to the eternal state of humanity. We're either in the light or we're in darkness. And darkness is synonymous with blindness and being prisoners, bound up in chains. And we see that darkness all around us, don't we? We see wars, we see poverty, we see disease, we see death. Many of us experience that even within our own families. The brokenness, the darkness of disease that runs riot in family lives, or maybe even our own lives, that cripple us. Even our personal lives, we experience the trauma, the darkness of abuse, of grief over the loss of loved ones, hostility that impacts relationships. And the Bible is as clear as day when answering the question, where does that darkness come from? Why is there darkness in the world? We live in darkness because the world is broken. And the world is broken because of sin, because we've rejected the one who is light, in whom there is no darkness at all. We've rejected his perfect rule. We've rejected his perfect reign, his goodness and his grace, replacing it with our own way of doing things, replacing it with our own selfish ambitions, our own glory. And as we look at the world around us, whether that's near or far, we know that it's not right. We know that it's not as it should be. And often in our own hearts, we blame other people. We blame other things. We often even blame God. Right at the beginning of the Bible, we see the impact of sin in Genesis 3 and the very first blame shifting that occurs. Adam and Eve, they had just eaten the fruit of the tree and they felt ashamed and they were hiding. And in verse 8 of chapter 3, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman that you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." When things are great, often we give ourselves the glory, don't we? When things are going well, it's down to me. But when things are bad, it's God's fault. It's other people's fault. We blame shift so easily to serve our own devices. In our moments of need, even as Christians, we can find ourselves asking, "God, what are you doing? God, what are you doing?" In our moments of suffering, we might be asking ourselves, "Why this? Why me?" In our moments of despair, "Where are you, Lord?" The Psalms are filled with questions like that. It is okay to ask questions like that. But ultimately, we find our answer is found in God. In the midst of the darkness, the people of God longed for the light of the nations to come. And they knew that he would come, that he would enter into their darkness, and that he would lead them into the light. Turn with me to John 1 in your Bibles. It's here in John's Gospel and that we see the one true light coming into the world. It's here that we see the light of the nations coming to open up the eyes of the blind and to set the prisoners free from the darkness. Look down at John 1, verses 9 to 14. "The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth." The light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to his own, to God's people, God's chosen people, but they did not receive him. He entered into the darkness, he entered into the brokenness, he became flesh and he dwelt among us. The one who created all things, the Word that spoke light into being, came in the flesh, humbled himself from the glories of heaven, from the throne room of heaven. He became flesh, a little baby turned into a child who grew up into adulthood. This is someone who went through it all. He dwelt. He really lived among mankind, among us. God was faithful to his promises in Isaiah. He would send a great light into the darkness. He would give a light to the nations that would open the eyes of the blind, that would set free people from bondage of darkness, from the bondage of sin. Jesus begins his ministry, and he unrolls the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and it can be found in Luke 4. And he found the place that it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then as we walk through the Gospels together, throughout we see him breaking the bonds of captivity to sin. We see him opening the eyes of the blind so that the blind can see again. Throughout the Gospels, we see him liberating those who have been marginalized and oppressed in society by bringing healing, by bringing the forgiveness of sins. This light who has come into the world, this great Savior, this great King, this great Lord, he came into the world, but he was different to that for which he was expected to be. The people, his people, did not receive him because they expected something different. And yet God had been very clear throughout the Old Testament. Zechariah 9, verse 9, for example. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he." If you stop there, you could understand the expectation that the people of God had. But the very next line, "humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." This great light, this great king, he wouldn't be born into celebrity status. He wouldn't be born as a child of royalty. He would be born in humble beginnings. We've been singing of that this morning. His kingdom wouldn't start out with a triumphant victory march, riding on his noble steed or in his war chariot. "Behold, your king is coming to you, humble, mounted on a colt, on a foal of a donkey." This is so outrageously different to what God's people expected. And yet God's word had revealed that it would be this way. His own people would not receive him. They saw him, but they remained blind. They saw him, but remained imprisoned and shackled in darkness. You see, Jesus is the light that enters into our lives. That one true light, he entered. The Word became flesh. He dwelt among us. He lived with us. And he entered in as the light who was full of grace and full of truth. The light of Christ is gentle and lowly in heart. And he enters into the brokenness of our lives. He enters into the darkness of this world, into the weightiness, into the burdens, into the pain, into the loss, into the grief, into the sorrow that we experience. He enters into all of that. He enters in and he draws near. He comes close. The light enters in and he says, "Come to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I love this. The one true light, he enters in. He takes the initiative. He makes the move. We are simply to receive of him. We are simply to believe in him and to trust in him and to walk in that light with him. The one true light, he enters into the darkness of the world, just as we were foretold by the Old Testament prophets, so that we can know that great is thy faithfulness, so that we can know that God is faithful to his promises, so that we can know that he never will leave us or forsake us, even when we are in the midst of the darkest seasons of our lives, even the valleys with the deep shadows looming over us, we can know that he will never leave us nor forsake us. The remnant of Israel was not forsaken. The people of God in Isaiah's time had hope. But Jesus came as a light to the nations, as a light of the world. He entered into all of humanity's darkness, and that is why we can sit here now, experiencing the light of Christ. For the wonder of the gospel is that one true light, the Lord Jesus Christ, he entered into the darkness in a way that we would not ever expect. And he took upon himself all of the darkness of the world by being crucified on that wooden cross. Luke 24 shares an eyewitness testimony of it. It says this: it was now about the sixth hour, it was midday, the height of the sun, the brightest part of the day, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, until 3 p.m., while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. He died. Jesus took on the darkness of our sin, and of our shame, and of our guilt. He took it on so that we can stand in the light. He overcame the darkness so that we could let the light shine in our midst. But we have to come to the one true light. We have to trust in that one true light. We have to lay all our burdens down before the one true light. We have to know that one true light. He entered into the darkness for us, but we have to receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the one true light, he entered into this world to bring about new birth, new life, to bring about adoption as children of God, so that we might become sons of light. Jesus told his disciples, John 12, "The light is among you for a little while longer. While you have the light, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." And then Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, "For at one time you were in darkness. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and all that is right and all that is true." The one true light, he enters into the world that we might become children of light. That's the good news of the gospel, that the one true light, he didn't just enter into the darkness, he took on the darkness and he overcame the darkness. He overcame the darkness through his resurrection. We who were once dead in our sins, we who were once in darkness, we are now children of light. And that is how we are to continue walking. We are to live as children of light, as children of the one in whom there is no darkness at all. And the fruit of that is found in all that is good, all that is true, all that is right. And we become children of light as we come to him, as we receive of him, as we keep on coming to the light who is gentle, to the light who is lowly, to the light who is full of grace and full of truth. And so we come to him. We let him enter into our own darkness. We let him gently and lovingly expose the darkness that blinds us, that keeps us shackled. We let the one true light shine through the darkness, to break through the darkness, to overcome the darkness. We see Jesus do it in his death and resurrection, but we also see Jesus do it in his spirit each and every day. We were once dead, but now we walk as children of light, for that is who we are. And so we keep firm in our faith, in this glorious, in this magnificent, in this radiant light, the light that entered into our lives, the light that entered into the darkness, the light that entered into the brokenness of humanity and into our own brokenness, to our own pain, to our own hurt. And we keep firm in our faith in Jesus Christ, the one who has opened our eyes and let us see, the one who has removed the shackles and has set us free. And we keep firm in our faith in him and him alone, for no other compares. He is the one true light above all lights. No one is like him. Let's pray in light of that now. Let's trust in that now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your promises are true. We thank you that you are perfection. You are light, and in you is no darkness at all. Therefore, we can come to you. We can stand before you. You see everything. You know everything about us. You cut us right to the heart. And you know who we are. Lord, I thank you that you sent Jesus Christ, the one true light, into the world, that God in flesh dwelt among us. He entered into the brokenness of humanity to deal with the problem of sin, to deal with the problem of sin and shame and death, to deal with the consequences of it, to usher in his kingdom of light, that we might be able to walk as children of light. We thank you, Lord, that we are adopted into your family because of Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray that we would be people that receive of him, that believe in him, that know him, that follow him, that live for him in all that we do. Lord God, I pray that we would be people that know the gentleness and the lowliness of Jesus, who comes near us and draws near us, who gently exposes and helps us to fall on our knees, in repentance and faith, and to trust in him and the all-sufficiency of his grace, the all-sufficiency of all that he has done on the cross for us, that we can know we are forgiven, that we can know we are accepted, we can know we are his, and he will never leave us and never forsake us. Lord, I pray that you would apply that sweet balm of the gospel to our hearts this morning. I pray that you would help us to know those truths, to experience those truths in our own lives. And I pray that that would stir our hearts to praise you, to worship you, to lift our eyes off even the preoccupations of ourselves, off the busyness of this season, and lift our eyes to you, the one true light, the Lord Jesus, who entered in. Lord, we thank you that you have the victory, and we trust in that. In Jesus' name, amen.